drive, and far side shot, scores! Mark Savard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's made, going in on goal, he shoots, he scores! Tays up with Pavlata. Ronald goes right on the check, right to the goal. He scores! A spectacular goal by 20-year-old Jonathan Tays. You won't see any better than that.
Gabrick moves in. He scores! Marion Gabrick steps it home.
Here's Van Riemsdyk. Off the wall with it. Backhander, he scores! There's your answer. James Van Riemsdyk. To the outside, takes his own pass. Marchand along in front. Score!
And now it's time for the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your host, Rob Strauss and John Flacco.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And welcome back to another edition of the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, John Flacco, and soon to be joined with Jeff O'Connor via phone. And just a very, very interesting week, John, in terms of rounding out the first round of the playoffs. We'll get to our predictions. A lot to get to today. Like I mentioned, we're going to talk to Jeff in a little bit, who joined us last week. And we're going to talk about all of the first round matchups, get to some of your predictions and all that other fun stuff later on. But first off, going to start off in the Western Conference and the Chicago Blackhawks holding serve, only giving up one game to the Minnesota Wild, and that was to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, the Wild came out that one home first home game and kind of took it to Chicago. You know, we talked about this series before and what the expectations were for Minnesota as far as what's a successful season, given they signed the top two free agents that were available at the beginning of this year. And, you know, overall, one win in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know if it was any other season, I would say definitely not a successful season given what they spent. But, you know, in the shortened strike season, you know, maybe you have to give them a little of a pass because they haven't had time to gel as a team since they changed so much.
See, I wouldn't say that whole season is I wouldn't chalk that up as a failure. There's a lot of factors, and we talked about some of the factors, contributing factors to teams not doing well this season, to the lockout, the labor strike, and not having time to gel. And I'm actually under the impression that going back into the lockout, and you guys have heard me say this before, that any team that wins the Stanley Cup this year should get half of the cup because they only played half of the games, roughly. So I think a lot of the teams that were supposed to do really, really well this year haven't lived up to the standards because of that fact. I think if it were a full 82-game schedule and a full 82-game season, I think that you would see a better Minnesota Wild team.
Yeah, I mean, that may be true.
Then again, you also might see a better Chicago team, too. They only lost seven games. They were on pace to lose about 12, 13 games all season.
That's true. I don't know. It's kind of hard to make that decision, decision based on what we saw right now. But it's kind of hard to look at that and say, yeah, it was an successful season, you know. We'll see. I guess time will tell which one of us is right about how we view the Minnesota Wild going forward. Obviously an improved team, you know, there's no doubt about that. But we all know that the best teams doesn't always translate in the playoffs. We've seen a resurgence of Washington, and again, you know, not get to where we think they could be in the playoffs because playoff time came, and last year they rode the coattails of Holtby a long way. This year.
Now we'll get to the Capitals in a little while, but Patrick Sharp leading the way for the Blackhawks in terms of point scoring, 5 goals, 1 assist for 6 points, was a +4 which is nice. But you don't – Marian Hossa, 6 points, 3-3. They weren't getting the scoring from your Jonathan Toews and your all those guys that are on that team that you look at as being like the marquee guys, Patrick Kane. They got scoring from other areas, and that's why that team is so dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, and they've done that all year. I think we've seen that all year from them. They don't have to rely on their captain or their top line to score to keep them in games. They found ways to win, especially during that streak. They were finding ways to win from guys like Dan Carcillo, believe it or not, during that streak that they had at the beginning of the year. So when you kind of gel as a team that way, you play well from the beginning, everybody contributes. But we know playoff time, that changes. It's the second season, things change, and I think Chicago's kind of we're looking at Chicago as that they fought this long hard series. They only lost one game,
right?
So and now they have time off to get ready for Detroit, who's coming off a 7-game series,
which we predicted. We'll get to our predictions from last series in a few minutes. But what grade would you give the Minnesota Wild now that their team is completely, it's done for the season? They're golfing at this point with eight other teams. What grade do you give the Minnesota Wild?
I have to give them a C+, because I feel like if you're going to go and splurge like they did, you have to expect to make an immediate impact with two super high impact players. So yes, you improved. Yes, you made the playoffs, but you might have made the playoffs without those guys. But what did you do in the playoffs? Did you threaten? Yes, you're playing Chicago, but
a team that only lost 7 games out of 48.
But if you're going to finish eighth, that's who you get. So
True.
You got to not finish eighth if you don't want to play that team in the playoffs.
I'm going to give them an incomplete.
All right.
That's going to be, us being both teachers, we hand these things out. We'll hand in a change of grade form later.
We can, but that's not – that's.
I'm going to give them an incomplete.
That's a cop-out, Strauss.
It is, but I don't think – well, you could say that with all the teams. I guess you could. I will give them I'll give them a solid C.
Okay.
A solid C, not a C+. You gave them – well, I mean, you had an okay season out of Zach Parise, but Zach Parise didn't show up in the playoffs.
Nope.
He was nowhere to be found. And you can either credit Chicago's defense on that, or you can say he just fell off his groove.
Zach Parise is an experienced playoff hockey player.
I agree. So. And I'm sure Jeff O'Connor, who's going to be joining us shortly, would attest to that as well.
So I don't believe that anyone solved Zach Parise on the Chicago Blackhawks, considering how many teams he's played before in the playoffs. So I'm going to say that it's more him not living up to his playoff reputation than it was the other way around.
All right. Fair enough. The other series that is coming up shortly is the L.A. Kings and the San Jose Sharks, a 5-6 matchup. The L.A. Kings defending Stanley Cup champions, who kind of a quiet entrance into the Stanley Cup playoffs after the regular season, coming in as a 5 seed. But after just a great run that they had last year, obviously, with their Stanley Cup run, only losing a handful of games the entire playoffs, which was ridiculous, backstopped by Jonathan Quick. I think L.A. was one of those teams that I think still flies under the radar a little bit. And a lot of people pick St. Louis to win this series.
Mm-hmm.
And they really, after losing the first 2 games, bounced back and took 4 straight from the Blues. And I don't think anybody saw that one coming.
No, and I think what you didn't see out of L.A., what you saw last year, was a team that, got into the playoffs, was winning some overtime games, had fantastic goaltending, and caught everyone's attention because of that. And a lot of people paid close attention to the L.A. Kings last year around this time, and I think they kind of lived up to that reputation in the playoffs. It kind of rode that wave. I think this year, like you said, they've won the Stanley Cup. People know who they are. They're still playing well. They beat a team that for the first 2 games looked like they had their number.
Yep.
Just didn't have the offensive firepower to overcome them. So, are they riding the same wave as last year? No, but that doesn't mean they can't win another series.
Step back for the Blues this year after coming off of a conference semifinal.
Yeah, I think you got to move after getting getting swept in the second round last year, you know, making it to the second round and then just losing after having a 2-0 lead, that's not a step forward. I think Hitchcock has got to find a way to put a little spark and a little flash on that lineup to get them to the next level.
And it's a tough situation. Hitch is a proven coach who's done his thing before. He knows how to coach. He knows how to coach these guys up. You know this from him being in Philadelphia. And I believe he took them to a conference final.
Yes.
At least a couple.
Yes.
Here in Philadelphia. So it makes it difficult for going from east to west, and you're changing teams, you're changing landscapes. And I think he's done a great job with that team, because you look at that team before Hitchcock came in, was in complete disarray. And he's kind of turned around. Hitch was actually up for the Coach of the Year award as well.
Yes, he was.
So it's hard to tell with the Blues if it was a step backwards or not. They don't have a marquee player on that team, a guy on the roster like a Taze or an Ovechkin, a Crosby, any one of those marquee players, a Tavares, that you could say, hey, this is who they have. They have a bunch of middle-of-the-road guys, and it seems to work for them.
Right, and that's what Hitchcock does well. He takes those kind of guys and gets them to overachieve and play together. But, you know, if you want to go far in the playoffs, you need somebody who can step out and take control of a game and score a goal, score a shorthanded goal, or, you know, make a fantastic play to get everybody motivated. And we saw that with Drew with the Flyers last year.
Right.
I mean, game six, shift one. You know, how much did that change that series? Goes out, buries Sidney Crosby, and scores a goal. And they didn't look back after that. That was it. They finished Pittsburgh at that point. St. Louis doesn't have that kind of player.
And it's a shame, because they did get pretty good goaltending from Brian Elliott.
Yes, who had two good goaltenders on that team.
Yeah, two really good goaltenders going head-to-head, and I think that was probably a worst-case scenario matchup for the Blues, where you have two really, really good goaltenders going against. Someone's got to lose.
Yeah, and I think they had injuries there this year that kind of slowed them both down, which they didn't have last year. They had both him and Halak playing at a really high level. This year, Elliott started on the bench, and then Halak got hurt later in the year, and they were back and forth. So that kind of played a role in how the team went moving forward, but still the fourth seed in the West. So still a good season overall.
Not horrible. Not horrible by any stretch of the imagination. Now they're going to run into this San Jose Sharks team, or the Kings, who dismantled their opponent in the first round. And the Vancouver Canucks really just took care of them, swept them right out of the building. And you know, San Jose, always there, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. And is this the year for the Sharks to get to that coveted Western Conference title?
The only thing that concerns me about the Sharks is, even though they played so well, I mean, it was a dysfunctional Vancouver team that they beat up on, so they were prime for being beat up like that. But they've been sitting around for a really long time. And even though LA hasn't just finished, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of just not good play in this first game or two, which will be in LA. LA has a home ice advantage slightly because they were two games better in the season. You're not going to see the level, the amount of scoring that we saw.
It's a shame we won't be able to watch any of those games.
Yeah, the game start comes on at 10:00. I think it was a Tuesday night. So leading scorer, and even if you look at, well, here's the problem too. The leading scorer for the Sharks is Logan Couture, who has 8 points, but he did that in four games. You know,
same with Pavelski.
Right. A lot of these guys are playing in 6 and 7 games that are on this top scores list. So we don't really know how potent this Sharks offense can be moving forward. Now, you look at the LA offense, there's not a whole lot of offense there. Now, given they're playing St. Louis, who's a very defensive-minded team, so you're not going to see that. But they're not.
Who's going to step up on that team and start putting the puck in the net? That's the question.
They're not turning that light, red light on a whole lot to get to move forward. So this is going to be, I think, this is going to be an interesting series.
I think it'll be a great series. And again, like I said, it's going to be a shame that none of us are going to be really able to watch it unless we're staying up to 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
We'll either be doing tape delay the next day or we'll be watching the highlights on ESPN.
That's probably my, I'm going to go NHL Network.
Or
ESPN,
yes, or
ESPN.
NHL Network.
Yeah, ESPN not so much on hockey highlights, but I think it's going to be a good series between those two. It's their division rivals. It will be a very, very compelling matchup between those two. You're looking at Antti Niemi, who won a Stanley Cup in Chicago, backstopping the Sharks, and now you have, obviously, Jonathan Quick, Conn Smythe and Stanley Cup champion from last year. So you have two very good experienced netminders, and you've got a lot of veterans on both sides of the ice. So that will be a very, very interesting matchup. And, it could come down to really anything. Who's going to put the puck in the net for L.A.? And can San Jose finally get over the hump and get to that Western Conference final that has eluded them for so many years in a row?
Yeah, we talked about this before, but Niemi's been there before, so we don't think of him as a top goaltender, but experience counts in the playoffs.
I agree with you. And we're going to get off to our very first break here right on the Blue Line, right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. When we get back from the break, I'm going to talk to Jeff O'Connor on the phone, as we did last week. We're going to talk about the Toronto-Boston Game 7 collapse from last night. And that's going to be a tough segment for me. Also, the Caps-Rangers Game 7 from last night, and then obviously our predictions. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back with the second period right after this.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
Hi, this is Tim Saunders, radio voice of the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio.
And welcome back to The Blue Line right here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, John Flacco, and Jeff. No Jeff. Can't get a hold of Jeff, but maybe he'll call during our podcast session here. And if he does, we'll put him right on. Mm-hmm. And get his predictions and all of his insight. So we're going to have to change on the fly here what we're going to do, and now we're going to mix it up and talk about the big story that we really wanted to open with, but we're going to save it till right now. The big story last night, you had two Game 7s, and any Game 7 in any sport is watchable. And I think it's almost a must-watch. And last night you had two. You had Toronto, Boston, and you had the Caps and the Rangers, everybody going to a Game 7. And the first game on the docket was the Toronto-Boston game. It's on the front page of most newspapers, especially in Toronto. I'm sure it's occupying every single bit of space on the newspaper. And Toronto found themselves down 3-1 to a very, very good Boston team. Boston was on their way to really just manhandling the Leafs through the first 4 games. Toronto steals a game, sends it back to Toronto. Jimmy Reimer steals Game 6. as he did, I guess you could say that in Game 5 as well, still Game 5, and anything can happen in Game 7. And I think last night, anything and everything did happen in Game 7. Toronto loses the game 5-4 in overtime after blowing a 4-1 lead with just about 12 minutes left to go.
Yeah, I mean, you look at both games, just going back to your original premise, I mean, you have two games, game sevens. The one wound up being pretty much unwatchable, unless you're a Rangers fan.
Right.
And the second game was literally an historic game. I mean, you had, to be honest.
This is killing me right now.
Let me be honest with you here. I think I said this earlier this morning. When I was watching that game and I watched Chara pinch and the Leafs go down and score on a 2-on-1 to make it 4-1, I honestly thought the Bruins are staying home. The Maple Leafs are advancing into playoffs, and I could not see how they could. And then I looked at the time, and I thought, well, you know, Boston can score quickly. The Krejci line is playing well, and they scored. But it was 4-2, and they were still holding them off. But I think the lack of experience, lack of playoff experience on that team caught up with them. I think even coaching experience. They just did not have the mental wherewithal to know how to keep that team at bay, keep the pressure up, kept doing what they were doing to keep Boston. Boston was guessing. Boston was at a spot where, you know, Toronto had their foot on their neck and they let them up.
Yep, and I think the best way I can equate this is to use a baseball reference. It's a 3-run lead in the bottom of the ninth. You bring in your closer, and you're supposed to shut the game down. And that's what Toronto did not do last night. Boston scored with about 9 minutes left to go, made it 4-2. They pull the goalie with about .145 left in the third. They get a quick one. Yeah. And I remember telling my brother-in-law, I was at his house watching the game, and I said, a minute 22 is way too much time. Way too much time. With that line and the experience that they have on that team. And then, lo and behold, they score the game-tying goal. And at that point, that's when it was 4-3 and they scored with .120 left to go. That's when I knew I was in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it was about as demoralizing of a loss as you can possibly fathom. And you're talking about a town that lives and breathes hockey 24/7, 365. It's like the Eagles to Philadelphia. Yeah. When you turn on sports talk radio station in Philadelphia any time of year, you know you're going to get a couple callers talking about the Eagles. It's just like that up in Toronto, where even if it's August, you're still talking about, oh, well, we've got training camp coming up in 43 days and 12 hours and, you know, whatever. I can't imagine what sports talk radio is like in the city of Toronto right now. But I can't imagine it's not good. Now, I'm trying to look at this objectively and say, you know what? Toronto did some really great things this season. After not being in the playoffs for 9 years, they come back and they take arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference to the brink of elimination, and they just couldn't close the deal. All right? You can look at it that way. They did some great things. They have a lot of really young talent. It was a coming-out party for Jimmy Reimer, having a great last 3 games with the exception of the last 10 minutes of period number 3. So there are some good things that you can take away from it, but however, the bad are overshadowing, but not outweighing the good.
Yeah, and if you look at their lineup, it's not like it's an older veteran lineup built to try to win now. You got, thanks to the Flyers, you got guys like Van Riemsdyk and Lupul who are
thank you,
scorers.
By the way. Thank you.
You know, all you lost was Luke Shen in that deal. And you got Kessel, who, you know, you have to weigh that one because you gave away Krejci in that deal, the draft pick that became Krejci. So he's kind of been the knife in the back in that whole straight. Not that,
but there's a lot of deals that you can look at. Like,
yeah,
that.
I mean, it's not that. At least that deal was talent for talent. So you have to look at which – that's going to be a long-term.
Well, here's another thing you got to look at, too, is you got to look at their goaltender, Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask, single-handed – I don't want to say single-handedly because their front offensive – their first line of Horton, Lucic, and Krejci just completely dominated that series without a doubt. But then you look at the goaltending of Tuukka Rask, and the Leafs drafted Tuukka Rask, and they traded him to Boston to get Andrew Raycroft the year after he won the Calder Cup, mm-hmm. or the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year, rather. So you can look at that, too, but hindsight's always going to be 20-20.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams you can look at who have made deals just like that.
Especially with the Flyers.
And we'll talk about that later.
That's the third period. We'll get to a very interesting segment that we like to do called the X-Flyer Report, a little twist on it coming up later.
I think what's missing in all this, you know, you look at it this way, the game is over, and obviously it's heartbreaking if you're a fan of Toronto, and I don't know any Boston fans, so, and if I do, I don't care to know them, but that's a different issue. But if you look at that game-tying goal, Boston had Zdeno Chara playing center, standing a la Tim Kerr, right in front of Reimer.
The guy's 7 foot one on skates.
That's a risk. You're giving up a lot by making a defenseman.
But at that point, you have nothing to lose.
Exactly, which is why there's a lot of luck involved in scoring a goal like that. Plus, you're already down one of your best defensemen who got hurt in the game.
Seidenberg
yep. got hurt.
Which next
is,
flyer.
Right, which is a big loss as well. And then, then you go to overtime and you have opportunities to win the game. You know, it's not like Boston scored quickly and you didn't even have the puck in Boston's zone. They had some opportunities to score against Boston early on. Rask made some nice saves, you know, missed opportunities there. And,
it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
And Boston's been on the good end of a comeback, and they've been on the bad end of a comeback. As
yes.
you know, blowing a 3-0 lead and a 3-0 lead in Game 7 on home ice to the Flyers, and that was back in 2011. But this one was a little bit unique because the Bruins become the only team in NHL history. We're talking about 100-plus years of history here. The only team in NHL playoff history to come back from a 3-goal deficit in the third period to win a game. And I just can't imagine. I feel awful, obviously, being a Toronto guy, watching this thinking, oh, my God, is this really happening? This just happened. And I could not. I had my head in my hands the whole game towards the end of that last period. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. Who do you blame at this point? Is it coaching? Is it that they just ran out of legs? They had, like you said, they had their foot on the throat of the Boston Bruins. They dominated that game for 85% of the game.
Oh, yeah. There was no doubt. If you watched that whole entire game, Boston was the better team for a total of, what, maybe 4 minutes in that whole entire game?
Yeah. I mean, was this a Toronto collapse or a Boston surge? And they finally woke up.
It's hard to call it a collapse given the way Toronto played in the first two periods. I mean, they had a 4-1 lead. It's not like they got 4 goals by accident. You know, did they make a lot of mistakes in the third period and compound them by panicking? Sure. So I guess it's.
But they were fine up until the 12-minute mark.
But like I said, going back to it, it has to do with playoff experience and lack of veteran leadership. Not leadership, lack of veteran experience on that team to keep those things from happening. I remember, did the coach call a timeout at any time?
I believe they did after the third goal was scored for Boston. I don't know which team called the timeout. I want to say it was Boston's timeout.
The timeout was because those classy Boston fans were throwing
bottles
of water.
And the towels on
the ice.
Right. Even though that wasn't the game-tying goal, that was the goal that put them...
Within one. Yeah, that wasn't even the game.
And then they almost got almost a timeout while they're cleaning up all those yellow towels
right.
off the ice. So it's tough. That is a tough loss. And I think that's going to leave a very, very bitter taste in every single one of those players and management's mouth going into next season. The good news is they have that playoff experience and they're keeping a majority of their team intact for next year. James Reimer gets that playoff experience that he didn't have before. Going into this series, the two players that had playoff experience on this team were JVR and Joffre Lupul.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everybody else had never been there. And I think now that they have that experience, as hard as it is to swallow at this point, knowing that you blew a 4-1 lead with about 10 minutes left to go in a Game 7 on the road in a Stanley Cup playoff game, I think that's going to carry over into next year, and I hope it does. And yeah. This is a team, a young team. They have talent. They've shown talent for the last 2 years. This could be a team that is building and moving in the right direction in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think, like you said, with Reimer, they know he's going to be the goaltender. He's shown that he can be that goaltender. He's still a young guy. So they're secure there. They have offensive weapons now. They know they can rely on. They've done it consistently. You know, they might have to go out and get some more pieces on the second or third line or second or third defensive line to kind of secure up their team. But now you have a new general manager in place who you change this year. Yep. You feel more confident about that. So you're set up to move forward. It's not like this is, like I said, you were a veteran team who was in it like all in for 1 year. You're set up to move forward. You made it to that first round. You played well against a good, very good team, by the way.
Right.
And didn't get blown out in any of the games. I mean, the furthest was a 5-2 loss?
5-2, yeah. It was game three, yeah.
Not hardly blown out. Unlike the Capitals, who we'll talk about in a minute, who just didn't show up in the last game.
Yeah, that was – we'll get there in a second. I think
– But, you're set up to move forward.
I agree. And I think it's kind of a changing of the guard here in the Eastern Conference, where you're so used to having the Philadelphias, the Rangers, all those dominant teams that have been in the past. Pittsburgh stayed pretty much even over the years.
They're the Atlanta Falcons.
Buffalo was strong for a while. Montreal was very strong for a while. They're starting to tail off a little bit. You're starting to see these younger teams and these teams that haven't been good in a really long time, the Islanders, the Torontos, even Winnipeg, who just barely missed the playoffs. You're starting to see some of these teams starting to have like a revival, which is good. And there's more parity in the NHL now because of that. And I think that's a very good thing. But I think the thing that did in Toronto, a combination of two things. Tuukka Rask played exceptionally well in this series. Even the games that he lost, he did play well. But the line of Krejci, Horton, and Lucic, who, by the way, combined for 29 points and a plus 29 in the series, is the line that absolutely destroyed Toronto. They had absolutely no answer for them.
None. None whatsoever.
22 goals were scored by the Bruins in this series. 11 of them came from that line. And that, to me, and probably four of them came from that line in that third period yesterday. But when you look at balance, and I don't think Boston has that balance yet. They have that strong line of Krejci, Horton, and Lucic, and obviously Char is on that line as well. He's logging about 30 minutes a game, which was insane.
I'll tell you exactly. He is one of the high guys on ice, 28.54 per game.
So I was pretty close.
No one even close. Yeah. I take that back. Letang is logging that many minutes.
Credit to, and speaking of people that are logging a lot of minutes, credit to James Reimer, who faced over 270 shots over this seven-game period. And that's more than 40 away from the next closest goaltender. So they peppered James Reimer with shots, and he still had a respectable save percentage of around 930. And good for him. Like you said, I think they're moving in the right direction. Is Boston still the strongest team left in the East? Of the final four that are remaining between Pittsburgh, Ottawa, and the Rangers in Boston, who's the strongest team right now? Is it Boston? That's the big question.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think if Seidenberg comes back healthy, I guess you would say Boston. I think that injury drops off, because if there's anywhere that you're going to get at Boston, you take down their fence a little bit, and that makes Rask a little more vulnerable. If he's not stellar, we know they can score on their top line.
Right.
We've seen that. Unless I think it's not given this series, I don't know if you can say that right now, like that we said it going in. It's not clear cut, but I still think they still have a little bit of an edge as far as being the best team.
And they were my preseason. If we go back to January, they were my preseason pick to come out of the East and represent the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup final. So they're just about 8 wins away from doing that. And they're just a strong team, and I don't want to take anything away from Boston, but Toronto gave them everything they could have given them, and they had all the momentum, and they just couldn't close the deal. Where does Toronto go from here? Like I said, I think that they take what they've learned in this series, and as tough of a pill as it is to swallow right now, I think it's going to help them in the long run, especially coming up next year. They are one of the and deserve to be one of the top eight teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think, like I said, the experience from this debacle is what I'll call it. I know now what you Philadelphia fans have been feeling for the last, I don't know, 30 years without a, well, with the exception of Phillies, from not having a championship, but getting there and getting so close and then just losing it. Mitch Williams giving up that the bomb to Joe Carter in the 93 World Series against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that was right. We were set to win Game 6 going into a Game 7.
Yep. And then that happened.
One swing.
Then that happened. So I for the first time in 9 years, I've been able to, you know, relive that. And it's not something that my phone was blowing up at with about 8 minutes left to go in that game. Hey, dust off the champagne. Time
and
to.
I said this to you. I thought about it too, but I knew that if things went the other way, you would be upset. So I purposely did
and
not.
And I appreciate that.
And I waited to today to wait to make fun of you. So
nice. And I appreciate that. Speaking of teams and people need to make fun of, I hate to see this happen to any team, because I think the Caps are a fantastic team with a lot of talent, but. The other game seven last night, the Washington Capitals, who had a 2-0 lead and let it all slip away, and after a huge overtime win, cannot find the way to win two straight against the Rangers, and they blow a game seven. Now, not only did they lose a game seven, they got wiped out.
Yeah, no one showed up on that team.
It was a 5-0 loss on home ice to the Rangers, who they lost to last year in the conference semifinal. And just a very, very tough series. Alex Ovechkin came out today and said he was blaming the refs for a penalty disparity. So I guess a lack of calls going for Washington. I didn't really get a chance to really browse the article. I just got the update on my phone. Is that sour grapes by Ovi?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, well, let's look at this. I'm looking at the top 30 point getters in the playoffs right now. Alex Ovechkin's name is not on it. So who do you blame? You got two things going on here. You got no one on Washington is in the top scorers in the playoffs for points. And not that it's completely his fault, but Braden Holtby is not what he was last year in the playoffs.
And he was – the funny thing is he was playing well.
In the beginning of the series,
he was really playing well. And
something happened there. Well, you also have the emergence of who one of the best goaltenders in the league show up on the other side, right in the middle of the series.
Yeah, the guy who's up for the Vezina Trophy this year?
Yeah, that guy.
Who won it last year?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Some guy named Lundqvist, who has been the kind of the backstay of that Rangers team.
Where's he from, Jersey?
Something like that. He sported a 1.65 goals against average, 9.47 save percentage, and 2 shutouts in that series. When all was looking not so good, we were talking last week about how if the Rangers lose this series, is that it for Tortorella? Mm. I guess you can kind of dispel that rumor right now.
Yeah, I think Tortorella's job is safe.
I think he's, of anybody that's just breathing a huge sigh of relief, it's John Tortorella. But a 1.65 and 9.47 and 2 shutouts, those numbers aren't too shabby. Even in the regular season, that's through 7 games. That's a really, really good. That's almost Jonathan Quick of last year-esque.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
That's scary.
And they will face the Boston Bruins in the next round of the semifinal round, which is where Toronto should be, but they're not. That will be a very, very good matchup. It's a original six rivalry. They're going to be a bus ride away from each other. Good matchup.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Do we want to talk? We want to talk about one more series before we do our predictions, right?
Indeed. Yes, we're going to do that. We're going to do our predictions in a minute, and you want to bring everybody up to speed on our point system here and how we're doing.
Yeah. So so far we made predictions. Rob, Jeff, and I made predictions for the first round, and we did a point system. The correct team winning the series gave you 1 point, and if you guessed the number of games in which they won it, you got a bonus point. So at the end of the first round of the playoffs, I have 7 points. Mr. Rob Strauss has 7 points.
Hey-o.
And Jeff is our leader with a total of 8 points, him being taking the Rangers as we took the Capitals, the being the difference in the series, all of the series so far. So with that,
look at the new guy coming in and leading the way here.
So, well, you know, he's a Devils fan, so we don't really know where he's coming from. So we're virtually going in tie into the next round. So
it's a big round here.
Yeah, we're going to have to make some
point. We're going to do this like Family Feud, where point values are doubled.
Should we value the
no?
No. We'll keep the point system the same at least for this round.
Point system works like this: you get a 1 point for picking the correct team that advances in each round. You get an additional point if you correctly pick the number of games it takes to dismiss said team.
Right,
and that was pretty much the difference for a lot of. You know, it made the difference in that, and a couple points for both of us. So.
What is it? One of us got a series right. One series right.
Yes. Jeff had a couple series. Yeah, it was good.
Unlike last year in our playoff predictions, where
which
we had
dismal
like
at
one
best.
Series right in each side, we got three on each side. I believe this.
I think
time,
we
right?
got the Devils Panthers series right, and I think that was about it. In the quarterfinal. After that, it was
no,
just
we
downhill.
Didn't because both of those won their first round series last year.
Oh, it was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. But now,
I picked the Flyers. I think that was the only one I got right in the first round.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good thing we weren't doing this last year because I would have been the clear
favorite. Well, we're much more respectable this year
in
our playoff.
We're just trying to hold our own here on the blue line. If you would like to get us your predictions, you can do so. You can tweet your predictions over to @KnightsRadio on Twitter, KNIGHTS Radio on Twitter. Feel free to send over your predictions. We'll get you in and we'll record your predictions so that you can get in with Jeff and John and see how you stack up.
If yours are better than ours for this round, we'll give you that shout out.
And I'll even throw a shirt out.
Oh, you got a shirt?
I do have a shirt.
All
I have a highly coveted real prize. A Sterling Radio T-shirt, which I think of. There's only about three in existence, but I have a whole box.
That makes
box
it
full
that
of them,
much more of a commodity,
which is great. I'll even embroider it or something with like NHL champion or blue line prediction champion. Whatever. But if you want to tweet over your predictions, feel free to do so @KnightsRadio, and we'll see if we can get Jeff on the horn when we get back. We're going to try and get in touch with him. He had apparently had a meeting or something. I don't know. So we'll see if we can get him on. We'll come back for the third period, do our predictions, the highly coveted X-Flyer report, which has a new twist, I understand, and some final news and notes on the blue line. Once again, you're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back with the third period right after this.
Do you play an instrument but don't get enough practice time? Do you want to learn how to play an instrument? Then join the Sterling High School Concert Band. They are in dire need of low brass and saxophone players, however, everybody is welcome to join. It is a great character building experience and an even better way to experience music in a new life. They perform several times a year, including a winter concert in December, a spring concert in May, and they take various trips throughout the year performing for the community. Rehearsals take place during Zero Block and Access every day. For more information, please see Mr. Steve Goldbeck in the band room or contact your guidance counselor. This message has been brought to you by Sterling High School Concert Band and WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Sterling Sport.
Good rebound from
Chrisman. Looks like he's fouled there. Puts up a desperation shot, and
he goes in!
It's good!
Always updated.
First and goal from the four. Preston Harrison going to run out. He's 4 yards away from pay dirt. Passes it complete. The touchdown! Marcus Taylor!
Always running.
They got to shoot it. Kylie, shot.
Always live.
Here we go. Sterling trying to slam it home.
Sanchez Gardner! Sterling, the group two champ of Allen Ball.
Follow us on Twitter @KnightsRadio where live game updates and scores will be tweeted throughout the live broadcast of games. So follow us on Twitter at Knights Radio to get all of Sterling's live athletic updates. Stay up to date with the latest scores and updates with at Knights Radio.
Hi, this is Clint Wiley, physical education teacher, head football coach at Sterling High School. You are listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Welcome back to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. It's the third period. I'm Rob Strauss, joined, as always, by John Flacco, and we're doing our third period now, and as always, a little segment we like to do called the X-Flyer Report. And, John, you have a magical twist on this.
Yeah,
this week's episode.
Rather than try to go through the list of people, X-Flyers you're playing in the playoffs, which is, you know, is a shrinking list now that Toronto's gone because they were two of the top performers, Lupul and Van Riemsdyk. I'm kind of going by the there's an article in Sunday in Philly.com by Sam Carcitti, who basically broke down all the X-Flyers and put them in line. So you had first line, second line, third line, then top defensive pairings, goaltenders, etc. And he compared them with stats to how the Flyers did this year. So basically it's an evaluation of Paul Holmgren and his ability to evaluate talent in the league. If you look at it.
I find this entertaining.
I don't agree with every premise. Like, I'll talk about some of the comments Carcitti made and excuses he made, but I'll let the numbers speak for themselves. All right, so let's go top line. You ready for this?
Yeah, go for it.
The Flyers' top line was Hartnell, Giroux, and Voracek.
Right.
Okay, Voracek, breakout year. Giroux, a little bit of a down year. Scott Hartnell stinks. Okay, all three of those players were a minus five or worse for the season. Okay. X-Flyers, top line. JVR, 32 points.
Winning.
Okay. Jeff Carter, 33 points, 26 goals.
Wow. He had 26 goals?
26 goals.
Dirty.
Joffrey Lupul, 18 points in 16 games played injured this season.
Yep.
Okay. Now, granted, two of those players were a big minus except for Carter, who was even for the season. But offensively, much more potent this
on
season.
On point, yeah. Okay.
Now, that's aside from Hartnell, I would, on any given year, I could say that can go back and forth either way. Because there's no one of those players who's a standout, you know, superstar NHL player. All right, so he, Carcitti talked about Van Riemsdyk increasing and Hartnell having the broken foot. That has nothing to do with it. He had a good year with Jágr and Giroux last year. And
is Hartnell gone?
He needs to go.
Next year?
He's not gone, but he needs to go. They pay him too much money. All right, second line.
That's another broadcast for another
time.
That's
a discussion for a different time.
Right, right.
Okay, second line. Jágr, 35 points. Richards, 32 points. Justin Williams, 33 points. The Flyer second line, Matt Reed, Braden Schenn, Wayne Simmonds.
Wayne Simmonds, good.
Wayne Simmonds, good year for him, young player. Still minus seven
Matt
for the
Reed.
Year. Matt Reed. I like Matt Reed.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
I think Matt Reed, very early in the season, got
Braden
stuck
Shen's the weak
on
the
third
on line,
Matt Reed, and came around later when he played with better players. So I'm optimistic about him. But, yes, Braden Schenn, very bad year. Excuse me. But Schenn minus eight, Wayne Simmonds minus seven.
Ouch. And that's no good. I mean, you really can't.
No, not at all.
All
right, so
that.
Who would you give? You definitely have to give the second line to the X-Flyers, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, third line. This is a little sketchy. He went Umberger, Prospel, Patrick Sharp. Patrick Sharp, no-brainer.
Yeah.
Best player in that line.
Right.
Flyers third line, Gagne, Couturier, Danny Briere. Now, Briere, I give him hurt year.
Gags.
Simone Gagne was brought back as a fill-in for injuries. Couturier went south. I'm not saying that that's an indictment of his career, but definitely not a good year. So maybe a wash.
Yeah, I call that a
maybe
split.
Maybe a wash.
That's a split. Yeah. We go fourth line here?
You want to go fourth line?
Or do we just what do you just want
Let's
to
skip over to defense.
Yeah, go over to defense.
Defense. Top line. Top pairing, ex-Flyers. Seidenberg.
Yep.
Was a plus 18, had 17 points, played 23 minutes a game.
Anytime you mention any player from Boston, I just get, ugh.
Joni Pikkanen.
Oh, nice.
Plus 2, 22 minutes a game. Now both defensive defensemen, not right. offensive guys.
Right.
Kimmo Tiininen, 29 points, plus 3. Decent year. Very suspect on defense, but offensive player. Luke Shen, traded for JVR. Led the top of the league in hits, up there in hits, 11 points plus 3. Eh. Not good numbers for your top defenseman.
No.
For your second or third defenseman, good numbers.
Right. But not your top. Right.
Right. Second pairing, Matt Carl, plus 1, 22 points.
Ooh. Breakout year for Matty Carl.
Luca Sabisa.
Oh, nice.
8 points, 99 hits. 20 minutes a game.
He's throwing the body around a little bit.
Matched up against Grossman, 4 points, 82 block shots. Braden Coburn, minus 10.
Just a minus 10?
Minus
Ouch.
10.
It's going to leave a mark. That will leave a mark. And I think the most compelling part of this whole thing is going to be the goaltending. And the goaltending is what we're going to wrap about next year in the goaltending. And whatever the goaltending is, it's going to be...
The goaltending,
in favor of...
no-brainer.
Yeah.
Do I even need to say it?
Yes.
Vezina candidate Sergei Bobrovsky.
The Bob!
21-11-6 on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let me say that again. 21 wins on the Columbus
in a 48-game
Blue
season.
Jackets with a 2.00 goals against average and
round
a
numbers.
932 save percentage. Ray Emery.
My man. Only lost
17
one contest.
17-1 as a backup goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Until he got hurt.
1.94, 922 save percentage. Not a terrific save percentage, but with the 1.94 goals against.
It's going to win you a lot of games.
A lot.
That's going to put a lot in there.
And they did. Flyers. Ilya Bryzgalov. Mr. Universe.
Mr. Universe.
19 wins, 17 losses. A winning record. 2.79 goals against, 900 save percentage.
Again, somebody else who likes round numbers.
36th in the league. Steve Mason, 4-2, 1.9 and 944.
Incomplete.
Steve Mason.
Yeah. Do you think Briz is back next year? Which player do they amnesty? Being that this is the modified version of the X-Flyer
There's two
report.
Ways that I look at this. What I think the Flyers should do is amnesty Bryzgalov. Ride out Mason. Build up your defense. Use that whatever you can to go out there and scout and get defensemen in here. Get people healthy. Get some defensemen in here. Do what you got to do. What's going to happen is they're going to get rid of Briere, and they're going to keep Bryzgalov for another year.
Yep.
Because I think they still have the option to amnesty him next year.
Next year, you get two.
Right.
Right. And so, by the way, the salary cap is lowered to around $60 million, I believe.
$64 million,
somewhere in there.
But it's like $9 million cheaper than last
year.
Right.
And that's going to be a big problem for a lot of the teams in the league where they're going to have to start cutting some costs a little bit.
Which is why you need to do it now and look at those players, those midline players who are going to have to be let go. And since if you have the room, you got to fill the, especially defensemen, you got to fill those spots and be smart about it.
And coming up in a broadcast much later, towards the end of school, like in June-ish, mid-June-ish, before we're done here at Sterling, will be the free agent show, in which we will highlight all the free agents and kind of look at every single team in the league and see where their holes are. And we'll probably spend quite a bit of time on the Flyers. Because just from the local aspect
of
things.
And I think we can talk about the Leafs, too, this year.
We can, and we'll look at every single one of the teams. So a very interesting ex-Flyer report, and kudos to the author of that.
Sam Carcitti, very excellent job there.
Nice job, Sam Carcitti. Well done. Nice segue into, we're deep into the third period. We're probably around the same time when Boston scored their second goal. And No, I'm still bitter. Just a little bit. Some news and notes before we get to our second round predictions. The Dallas Stars have fired head coach Glenn Kludzen and the assistant Paul Gerard after two seasons in which they went 64-57-9. So those two guys out, and they will be looking for a new head coach. John, if you're interested, if you want to give up your science gig and head down to Dallas.
I got to spruce up my resume.
Yeah, see what you can do.
I don't know if I want to live in Dallas, though. I know it's a decent
hockey team. You don't have to worry about snow.
It's a decent hockey team, but I have to be close to the Cowboys.
If you don't have to like the Cowboys.
True.
You can like the Texans.
I guess so.
You like where I'm going with this? I just want to see you put in a resume.
You're trying to sell me Minnesota. You're trying to sell me the former North Stars is what you're trying to do.
Yeah, do it. They've got a really good goal horn.
Do it. You can do it.
Yeah, they've got a great goal horn.
They do have a great goal horn.
We should rank the goal horns. May be in a different show. We'll have to prep
That's a different
one.
Show.
An angry Alex Ovechkin is going to join defending champion Russia at the IIHF World Championships. Oh. So now that he's not doing anything but complaining about referees, he is going to head over to Russia and help out over there.
Doesn't he have a hot model wife now?
I don't know.
I think he got married this year.
Didn't they do something like he's like living with his parents? His parents live in they don't live
in
Russia.
One of his houses?
Yeah, his parents live in D.C. or something like that. I don't know.
Could be.
I saw something on NHL Network about it.
Yeah. I remember he wrecked a lot of cars. That's
yeah,
what I know.
Yeah. Thomas Vokoun is going to start in net tonight for Game 1 against Ottawa. That kicks off tonight at 7:30. Two games slated tonight. Obviously, Ottawa and Pittsburgh at 7:30. Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. And then San Jose and the L.A. Kings are going to kick off at 10 p.m. So two very, very good matchups tonight. If you can stay up for the late game, you're going to be up till about 1 in the morning here Eastern time. But it should be.
Yeah, I don't think I'm making that one.
I don't think so either. I might see the puck drop.
Maybe.
Maybe the first period I'll hang around for. But the Ottawa-Pittsburgh series, and that's going to be a nice little segue into our picks segment. As a reminder, Jeff is currently leading 8-7, and John and I both tied with 7 points in this, and we're going to do our predictions live on the air right now. Jeff, we cannot get a hold of, but I'm hoping that we can get his predictions in before the start of tonight's game. If we can get them to either myself or John before the start of tonight's game, we will record them, obviously. If not, there's going to be some type of quarter point or half point penalty only because he's the leader. I think if he was only had like 4 points,
we wouldn't care.
We'd be like, we'll let you slide.
Yeah, we'll give you a game.
But since he's leading, we're going to dock him points because we make the rules here.
That's right. It's our game, our rules.
That's how we roll here at Sterling Radio. As a reminder, if you're listening to this live right now on Sterling Radio, it's probably about quarter of 7 o'clock. You still have time to get your picks in. You can get your picks in. Tweet them to us at Knights Radio on Twitter, or you can email us at wshs.radio@gmail.com. Send us your predictions, and we will not only enter you into our little pool here, you will also we'll mention you on air and give you some kudos for being a part of our fun broadcast here. First, we're going to start off in the Western Conference, the top-seeded Chicago Blackhawks taking on the not-so-surprising-anymore Detroit Red Wings, and one of two original six rivalries here in the semifinals. Who do you got?
Well, I'm going to go first here. And I'm a fan of the Detroit team, and I like the way they came back in Game 7. Howard's numbers are not great. Given Chicago's high-powered offense and their excellent defense. I don't know that Detroit, as the playoffs get extended and their older team is built to keep coming back like they are. So I'm going to say Chicago in six.
Chicago in six. You changed your prediction.
Did I? When
I spoke to you, you said Chicago in seven.
I'm sorry.
You going to stick with
can
that?
Can I stick with seven?
You can stick with
sorry.
That.
I'll stay with
that's
seven.
That's why pencils have erasers.
I'm going to go with my original. I don't want to change my original thought. It's bad luck.
That is bad luck. It's bad karma. I, however, am going to take the Chicago Blackhawks as well. I think they'll be able to – Detroit will be able to steal a couple games from them, and that's it. I'm going to take the Hawks in six. This team is just like way too good. And Detroit was able to get away from a weaker team – and I think in
weaker
Anaheim,
defensive team.
Chicago is stacked from top to bottom, and I would be surprised if they would. I think this would be a monumental upset if Chicago loses to Detroit, and so I'm going to take the Hawks in six. Jeff, what do you got? Oh, yeah.
But Jeff's not here.
Jeff's not here. Next matchup is a 4-5 matchup. The L.A. Kings, defending Stanley Cup champion, taking on the San Jose Sharks, the number 5 seed. I think we can throw seeds out the window at this point, yeah. But we have it has to be mentioned just for legal purposes.
Well, home ice advantage.
Home ice, yeah, that too. Kings will start off the series tonight on home ice, defending home ice against the San Jose Sharks. John, who do you got?
Well, I've been picking against the Kings since last year, and I still haven't got one right. Did I pick the Devils in the Cup? No, I think I picked the Kings in the Cup. But anyway, I've been picking against them for the past couple seasons. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I'm going to stick with I was the only one to pick the Sharks, so I'm going to stay
You're
with the Sharks.
Dude.
And I'm going to go Sharks in six.
Sharks in six. I'm going to take the flip side. This is where some points could be had here.
You're going with the locks.
I'm going to go with the L.A. Kings. It took L.A. a couple games to figure out their playoff identity. Jonathan Quick is back to doing his thing. They have the scoring. They obviously have the goaltending. And I'm going to go in a beat-up series. This is going to be a great, great series. I'm going to go L.A. in a six spot.
Right.
And if you look at all these matchups in the West, neither of these teams are really traveling very far.
Right.
John's so angry, he's tossing around his coffee
things,
mugs.
Sorry.
Good Lord. And even in the East, the team that I think has to travel the furthest is probably Pittsburgh, who's traveling to Ottawa. So you don't have to worry about
That's really
traveling.
That's not that far.
No, it's not. you're looking at times. There's no time zone differences between any of these four matchups, so you don't have to worry about fatigue and all this other stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm sticking with L.A. in six.
Okay.
Over to the Eastern Conference now. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are going to open up tonight against the very, very surprising Ottawa Senators, who took care of their first-round opponent in relatively easy fashion in the Montreal Canadiens. That was the Battle of Canada, and that was a 2-7 matchup, and they really, really took care of the Habs very quickly and very, very decisively. This is a very good series. Ottawa getting great goaltending out of Craig Anderson. They're tough. They're big. They can score. They have veteran leadership. I'm gonna kick off the Eastern Conference.
Go ahead. You go first this time.
Can Pittsburgh ride Thomas Vokoun, who's going to start tonight in place of Marc-Andre Fleury, who was pulled after Game 3?
No, Game 3.
Game four.
Game four.
After game four.
Vokoun played two games.
Yeah.
Right?
After game,
yes.
I believe so. After game three or four, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Vokoun's in net and Fleury's on the bench. Fleury was giving up his save percentage dipped under 900. I think it was 889. His save percentage was giving up like 4+ goals a game. It's so hard to pick against Pittsburgh in this but the big question is, we know that they can score. That is obvious. But can their goaltending hold up? And I'd like to think yes, and I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Penguins in 5.5 games. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I would like to. I'm going to go Pittsburgh in six.
Six, huh?
Six games.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite of you.
Nice.
I look at this matchup, and I look at Thomas Vokoun, whose numbers are the best in the two games that he played. So I can't really say anything about that. Now, he went against the Islanders, who are not a whirlwind of an offensive unit. And I look at Ottawa, and I think, Anderson, best goalie in the playoffs right now. Better than Lundqvist, better than Quick. Granted, he's only played 5 games, but still, numbers are there. I look at Ottawa's defense, and I see it improved from the end of this regular season into the playoffs. I see scoring, and I think they can gut it out. I think they're hungry after being the way they exited in the playoffs last year, and I think they're ready to. I think they were ready to move forward this year from the beginning of the season, but they got a setback early. I think they're ready to take that next step. So I'm going to take them in seven.
I'm going to take the Senators in seven. All right. So last matchup. Is a 4-5 matchup again, or is it 4-6?
It is 4-6.
Toronto was 5, but I'm not bitter. 4-6 matchup, the Boston Bruins coming off of an amazing, almost blew the 3-1 series lead and almost was about 10 minutes away from being eliminated from the playoffs altogether. And they come back in dramatic fashion to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're taking on another team that went the distance in the first round matchup, the New York Rangers, who took care of the Capitals in 7 games. And after, again, after the first 2 games, it was really question time in New York. And so now you have 2 teams that went the distance and a quick turnaround. They're going to be playing, I believe, Tuesday night. So, or excuse me, Wednesday night.
16th, yes.
Wednesday night. Oh, no, they're going. They're waiting until Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday's
wait until Thursday, 16th, so they have a little while. I can't this is my anger with Boston right now. I am not going to take the Boston Bruins in this series. I am going to take the New York Rangers. And I'm going to take, I'm going to go keep it nice and even, 6 games.
All right.
I'm going to take the Rangers in 6. Lundqvist is going to outplay Tuukka Rask in this series. That is my bold prediction. Even though I picked the Bruins to go to the Cup, I may change this. I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Well, like you, I thought Boston was the best team in the league.
I'm just angry at Boston.
I know you are. And the one thing...
You're on the fence, aren't you?
I'm very much on the fence. I'm
because I know how much you love the Rangers.
I'm teetering on the other side. Here's
two
all
teams
things,
you can't stand.
That's true. It's very
two
hard.
Two cities you can't stand.
It's very hard for me to pick one over the other. I shouldn't say that. I don't dislike the city of Boston all that much, but just the people in Boston and their teams. But
everything else is good.
Everything else is good.
Fantastic.
Though. Like, you know, the history of Boston,
right.
That's all good.
Right, that's fine. Now you can keep that, but yeah. Everything else, not so much.
Here's the one thing that scares me about this matchup, me picking this matchup. I look at Lundqvist and I think he really looks like he can go on the kind of run that Quick went on last year. And given that Boston played close games against Toronto and never really took it to Toronto, you have those close games. The Rangers win those close games.
You're taking the Rangers, aren't
you? I really want to take the Rangers.
But you're not.
But then again, I think I really don't want to go against my early prediction. So do I go with my pride or do I go with what I think is going to happen?
You want the coveted...
What did you pick?
Sterling Radio. I just used my eraser and I made a change to
you
the number
took the
of
Rangers.
I'm going to take the Rangers in 7.
Because you hate the Bruins.
Because I still have a very, very bitter taste in my mouth and that will probably be there until at least October.
All right. Well, I'm going 7 games. I know that.
All right. So I'm going to put pencil in for 7. Now all you have to do is fill in a team.
All right.
No big deal.
Can Boston...
decisions, man. I mean, this
I think about the Flyers and when they came back against Boston and they rode that wave through the playoffs that year. That was such an emotional change. But then again, that emotional series win against Pittsburgh didn't get them that far. Against the Devils.
Here's what it's going to come down to. And this is the question. I don't know if this is going to sway you either way.
I'm stretching this out really long.
Yeah, you are. Can the Rangers contain the line of Krejci, Horton, and what's his name? The big guy. Lucic. Can they contain the line that was responsible for more than their
score. That's the only line they have to contain, I think so, because there's no one else on Boston that's going to step up. But then again, I look at that. If the Rangers have to do that to that line, here comes Tyler Seguin. All right, I'm going to go opposite of you just because you picked them. I'm going to take Boston. I'm going to stick my original pick. I'm not going to change my original. I'm going to forget the Lundqvist factor.
Even though I picked the Bruins to go to the Cup against the St. Louis Blues, who are out?
Neither of us picked it. Anybody. The teams we picked to go to the Cup last year were like crash and burn the first round.
Oh,
so.
Totally.
So totally. Let's just forget that.
All right, to review, we both have the Blackhawks in the first round matchup. You have them in 7, I have them in 6. We split on the LA Kings and San Jose Sharks. You have the Sharks in 6. I have the Kings in 6. Pittsburgh-Ottawa were different. You have Ottawa in 7. I have Pittsburgh in 6. You just took the Boston Bruins in 7. and I'm going to take the New York Rangers in seven. I just got a text from one Jeff O'Connor.
He
cannot be docked a half point.
All right,
right now. He has picks. And here are
read them off.
The picks for one Jeff O'Connor, who is the leader going into the clubhouse into the second round. He's going to go Chicago in five.
Five.
Bold. Five games.
Bold.
Bold move, Cotton.
He also did not pick Detroit to win the series that they did, so I think that may be anti-Detroit pick. But
right.
Go ahead.
He has L.A. in six, like myself. He, like you, has Ottawa in seven, and he also has the Boston Bruins in six games.
Ooh, he took the Bruins.
He took the Bruins in six games.
That's a little bit of a surprise. And Ottawa, huh?
Yeah. Yep. So the way it's looking,
we're all spread out here.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice close competition going in here. We all haven't picked the same team, so
I have a feeling that I'm gonna need our Stanley Cup final game, which we'll reveal when we get closer. We figured out points system
for
that too.
We still got two more rounds, so
yeah, we do. And I have a feeling that I'm going a little bit off the beaten path here. I cannot pick Boston at all right now. It's too soon. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have to make that pick now.
Yeah, I did. I picked the Rangers, but the body's not even cold yet. It's still relatively.
See,
warm.
Now that you're rooting for the Rangers, now I'm just going to give it to you with the Boston stuff. I'm just going to go there. I'm just going to go. I've been nice all today. Once you start rooting for the Rangers, I'm going there.
I don't
just
want
be prepared.
To. I just don't have any other choice. If Toronto was
you
the Rangers,
you can be the bigger man and admit that Boston's line, not the team, but that line was a better team than your team.
Yeah, for the first four games of that series, it was the better line. But you look at what Boston did over the last three games in the end of that Toronto series; they fell apart. Jágr is slow.
Jágr was hurt. He came off the ice in that last
he
game,
did.
Which is why what's the name?
Seguin.
Not Seguin. What's the name?
Bergeron.
Bergeron scored that goal.
So, sometimes funny things happen for a reason. Jaromír Jágr did not look like Jaromír Jágr at all in that series. Now, granted, he's 40-plus years old. So
41, yeah.
41, he'll be 42 next year.
Yep.
He's looking every single bit of 41. So, whatever. Those are our picks. Again, if you'd like to get your picks in, you can. Feel free to tweet us at Knights Radio. Even if you're a game late, we will still get you in.
Audience members can be a game late.
Yes.
We won't deduct points from you.
We will not deduct points from you. And you still have time to get your picks in, or if you want to have any questions for our exciting panel here of experts who never get any picks right, feel free to shoot us a tweet at Knights Radio, or you can email us wshs.radio@gmail.com. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of The Blue Line. John, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Jeff, thank you for your picks, I guess.
Out in cyberspace.
Out in cyberspace. He's got like job stuff to do.
A lot of work.
Yeah, who does that?
Okay.
It's playoff time. Come on, man.
Playoffs.
Are you kidding me? He's got to prioritize. That's going to wrap it up for The Blue Line. We'll see you next week with our yet another exciting episode. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Have a great night.